He had a big pad down there. I don't think he paid a nickel for it. And he had tennis courts, and he had a swimming pool, and Jane Mansfield. I'm thinking of Rod Steiger again. And there was it was quite an interesting story. But they had, you know, they're paying guys off. They had gambling and crap. It's great. That's back when gangsters wore those nice-looking suits, and they weren't walking around in sweats. That's the only problem with you gangbangers. If you guys would dress up nice, man, we'd love you. And maybe get just a little bit whiter. Now, I'm kidding, but that's the thing, because seriously, the romance about mobsters is essentially that they wore nice-looking shoes, suits, good-looking cars, and they had, you know, maybe the skin was just a little bit lighter complexion, and that was nice. And they wore the nice fedoras and stuff. I made a lot of movies about them, but it's all over. Did you read the thing about John Gotti Jr.? In Vanity Fair? This poor kid, he cut a deal, man. He don't want to know from nothing. He is on his way back home. He does not, and his old man was saying something along the lines of, you know, I hate this kid. He's the dumbest kid. I hate him. He's dumber than dirt. You mean he's related to me? Well, I think he's pretty good. That was bad. And poor old John is there, cool on his heels. Where is it, Leavenworth? And then nobody even takes him serious there. He's like hanging around in the gym, and he's, you know, he's hanging and banging out there in the yard, and all these cats, Aryan Brotherhood, are saying things like, you Rod Steiger? Anyway, it's the Phil Henry Show here. Our number again, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray coming up. And this is going to be a little unusual tonight, and I'm a little bit nervous about it, but stick around.
静坑门，你哋好，多谢你哋与 Phil Henry 先生一齐飞行。我哋现在正系响30,000尺高空中飞翔。顺便告诉大家 ，Chopstick， 我哋今晚嘅特别嘉宾系 Jackie Chan 先生，仲有一题嘅系 Fortune Cookie。And now here's Phil。
Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686, and day four with those bumps. How do you like those opens, Mike? Boy, is he looking bad. Crozier, I've never seen him greener. Somebody gets back from them acting classes of his. Nice to have you back again tonight, Mike. 1-800-449-8688. You weren't here. Oh, were you here last night, too? God, how funny. I didn't notice. 1-800-449-8686. A little something unusual tonight, and let me just... sort of clear my head. I've got a request for an interview from Margaret Gray, who's a nationally syndicated columnist. You could see her column in, I don't think, like 300 newspapers across the country, wanting to do an interview with me. Ordinarily, I would conduct these off the air. She requested that we do it on the air. And I said why through Mike Schaefer, who's our producer. And she said because she thought it would be interesting and compelling for the audience to introduce me to the audience in ways that perhaps I've never spoken of myself. And I got to tell you, I'm a little bit nervous because I don't like talking about myself all that much. And I'm not saying that to gain any kudos or favors. I think people who don't talk about themselves are almost as obnoxious as people who talk too much about themselves, you know? In other words, what are you afraid of and how are you going to work in the human race unless you can give us a little bit of yourself? So with that in mind, let me... is she not ready yet? Well, I'm going to bring Margaret on here and just... Well, that was great. Okay, she's ready to go. I'm sorry. With that in mind, we'll bring Margaret on the line here from Santa Monica. Margaret, good evening.
Phil, good evening, and I think you put it very well. I really think it would be good for your audience to hear a little bit about your life. I want you to know something.
Well, again, but you know how I say I don't want to talk about myself?
Yeah, but I want you to know something. The kinds of interviews that I conduct are a little bit more in-depth. I'm a very, very big fan of Barbara Walters. I think Camille Paglia is very intense and very interesting. But what I do is I do an extreme amount of research.
Okay.
And I look into all facets of people's lives. And I think that's what makes what I do a little bit different from some of the interviewers. We may get into some areas of your life, if from your childhood on. We might get into some areas, some uncomfortable areas.
Well, I understand that. I guess I'm nervous because
you don't like talking about yourself.
Well, not only that, but I've read a lot of your interview pieces, and you are very, very, very thorough. But with that in mind, and what I would give the number out to at 1-800-449-8686 if people have, you know, questions.
If they have questions of me, if they have comments, if they are interested in the interviewing style, certainly I'd be very, very happy to speak with them. But what I do, which makes me, I think, a little bit different from a Barbara Walters, is I really get into the life of the person that I interview. And I think, Phil, I really believe you're going to find this to be a very illuminating experience, and I think you're going to enjoy it.
Well, all right, let's try this. And do we just start?
Well, let me just start at the beginning, Phil. Let me ask you, where were you born? And then we'll get into some things about your childhood.
All right, I was born in Pasadena, California.
And your birth date?
That was September 1st, 1952.
So that would make you 47?
I just turned 47, yeah.
Your parents are from Canada, correct?
My mother and father are from Toronto, Canada.
And when did they come to the United States?
They came to the United States in New Year's Day, 1949.
And they settled in California?
They settled in Santa Monica, and then they moved to a little house in Arcadia.
And whereabouts was that?
Arcadia.
And that is in the San Gabriel Valley of the Los Angeles metropolitan area, correct?
Yes, it is, San Gabriel Valley. I guess Arcadia is best known for the Santa Anita racetrack.
That's right. And you spent, I think I read an earlier interview with you, you spent some time at the racetrack and enjoying that aspect?
Well, as a kid, I snuck in.
You snuck into the track?
Yeah, I'd sneak in because I couldn't go in there legally. By the time I was 18, I spent times with my friends, you know.
Do you remember your most memorable time there?
At Santa Anita?
Yes.
Well, big race. In 1982's Santa Anita Handicap, I saw John Henry beat Perot, which was the other horse.
Mm-hmm.
And that was exciting. There was a big crowd that day, and it was, I believe it was... Lafitte Pincay on Perot, and I think it was Willie Shoemaker was riding John Henry. It was a great race.
But that isn't the only time, is it?
I don't understand.
In 1975, a young jockey by the name of Alfredo Pineda. Am I ringing a bell?
Yeah, you are. I mean, God, you do your research, don't you?
A young jockey is on his mount, waiting for the race to begin. The horse rears up, and young Pineda is killed. Do you remember that?
How did you know about that?
This is what I do, Phil, all right? Just go with me on this. This is what I do. Do you recall that?
Yeah, I do, and it was a very emotional time because it was the first time that I guess I'd seen anyone killed in that way, and he was a great, promising young jockey, and
it was emotional for you, wasn't it?
It was very emotional for me. Yes, it was, and I often think back on that day when I saw him. He was a young, promising jockey, and the horse reared up in the.
It's emotional. This is what I do, Phil. So I want you to feel comfortable.
No, I understand that. I you did some good research. I guess I'd spoken about that before, but I didn't really.
I blindsided you a little bit, and I'm sorry, darling, but I. This is what I do. I don't do what Barbara Walters. This is not Rosie O'Donnell.
No, I appreciate that very much.
All right. 1969, let's talk about this. Senior year in high school, there was a drug arrest.
No, there was not.
You were arrested, correct?
My senior year in high school?
You were arrested?
I was cited by the... This was not a drug arrest. I don't know.
No, but you can tell me a little bit about that. Los Angeles County Sheriff... Temple City, California, you are arrested. Why? There were drugs, correct?
No, there were no drugs.
The charge was what?
The charge was minor in possession of alcohol. I had a bottle of Ripple wine or something.
Do you consider alcohol to be a drug?
Well, if you're going to try to draw that...
No, Phil, just please. I'm not trying to confront you. This is what I do. All right?
Do I consider alcohol a drug?
Yes.
I suppose I do.
So it technically was a drug arrest, wasn't it?
I think you mislead, though. It was not...
I know it wasn't illegal. I know it wasn't cocaine. I know it wasn't marijuana. But you were arrested, correct?
I was arrested, yes.
By the Los Angeles County Sheriff. Is that correct?
Yes, I was.
Have you ever done anything you were ashamed of?
Well, I mean...
Have you ever done anything that you were very ashamed of?
Yes, I have.
What?
I'm not prepared to talk about that.
Why not?
Because I'm not prepared to talk about that.
Why not, Phil? Now
you're pressing me.
This is what I do, Phil. Please, don't take it personally. Why won't you talk about it?
Because it is something that has to do with me and other individuals. It's very, very private.
But you were ashamed of it, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Very. There are things that people do.
things that people keep locked away, isn't there?
I guess there is.
We all have things that we lock away, Phil. It's not an unusual thing, and I'm not trying to draw you out. I do this. This is what I do as an interviewer. But you are ashamed of what you did, right?
Yes, I was ashamed of what I did, and...
Let's talk a little bit about sex. I want to know about sex. I want to know when you... I'm not going to ask you when you were first with a woman, all right?
Thank you very much.
All right, but I do want to know, do you have healthy relations that way?
Yes, I do.
All right, I want to get back to that a little bit later on in the interview. 1975 to 1979, you suddenly drop out of sight. I want to talk about that.
All right, we have to take a break, okay?
That's fine, but remember, Phil, I am not trying to get personal.
I understand that. You've already hit me with a drug arrest thing. I was never arrested, and I don't want to leave that impression, okay?
You were arrested, though.
I was arrested. I was not arrested for drugs.
You were a minor in possession of alcohol, though.
Yes, I was.
That is technically a drug.
Yes, I guess technically it is a drug.
Then what are you hiding from? I'm trying to bring this out, and I think that it's something that you really... I've got a call, Phil.
All right, you have a call. Let me take a break here. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. I'm being interviewed by a nationally syndicated columnist, Margaret Gray. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. On the line with me from Santa Monica tonight is Margaret Gray. She is interviewing me for a piece she's doing for a syndicated column. And we thought that it would be interesting for you guys to at least eavesdrop on this. I want to ask you, and as I said before, I'm a little bit uncomfortable.
I understand that, Phil. And I want to say this. I am a great admirer of your talent. But I have to do what I do. And this is what I do. You can look at a lot of the people who interview, Barbara Walters, for instance. You can look at Camille Paglia, for instance. You can look at any of these people who do what they do.
Do you want to get... Is that your phone?
I've got someone calling me right now. Can you hold on for a minute, Phil?
Yes, you can... If you want to take the call?
Yes, if you wouldn't mind. But I do what I... Oh, God. Hold on for just a minute.
All right. Take the call, and then I ask you to make sure that nobody's calling, okay? Margaret Gray is interviewing me for a piece that she's doing for her column. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm sorry, Phil, I'm back. So that's what I do. I do what I do, and the others can do what they do.
All right, I understand that. What is your next question? I got a couple of people hanging on the line who want to talk.
Well, we'll get to them. 1975 to 1979, Phil, you suddenly dropped from the face of the earth. You're in New Orleans, Louisiana, correct?
I was in New Orleans, yeah. I was working in the French Quarter for an FM station.
Suddenly, the radio station you're working at is raided by the DEA at New Orleans Vice. Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
The station I worked for in New Orleans was indeed raided by elements of the DEA and New Orleans Vice Squad because there was drug dealing.
There was cocaine dealing, isn't that correct?
Yes, ma'am, there was.
And you go to Miami, isn't that correct?
This had nothing to do...
Did you not go to Miami, though? The DEA and New Orleans Vice raided the station when? May of 1978, isn't that correct?
It was in June.
And you suddenly go to Miami, why?
If you're drawing some...
Just answer my... Phil, this is what I do. Answer my question, why?
I went to Miami because it was a better opportunity.
A better opportunity, even though the New Orleans Vice Squad and the Drug Enforcement Agency had raided the radio station you're at and arrested people.
You have to understand that they raided the AM side. It was an AM-FM. There were guys on the AM station. There were guys on the AM station who...
The guys on the AM station were doing what?
They were dealing cocaine.
And you were the only one to emerge from that raid unscathed. Isn't that right?
Margaret, I was...
You were the only one to emerge from that raid unscathed. Isn't that right?
I went to Miami from New Orleans. I was on my way to Miami anyway. Okay, I was going to go to work for WSHE.
The station is raided. People are arrested. You know that they were under surveillance, didn't you?
I found out later on they were under surveillance.
Every night you went out to your car, in the parking lot of that radio station, you knew that New Orleans Vice was in the warehouse across the street having the station under surveillance. Isn't that right?
No, I didn't know that.
Phil, I know you're getting emotional.
You're making it sound like I set people up. I didn't set anybody up.
This is what I do.
I want it to be very clear that I never had any knowledge of any drug dealing going on at that radio station, and I didn't...
Well, hold on for a minute. Take a deep breath.
Well, I... God...
Take a deep breath. You see what's happening, Phil? What I do is I dig in and I get stories. I love you very much, but this is what I do.
I know this is what you do. I don't want any inference.
Well, you're very defensive, though, aren't you?
I don't think I'm being...
You're very defensive. Did I say you were dealing drugs?
No, you didn't, but you inferred that perhaps... All right, let me take a phone call.
Take a phone call. Take a deep breath. Let's talk a little bit about this.
Here is Monroe on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, my name is Jason from Monroe.
How you doing, Jason?
Is that Monroe, Louisiana? Is that Monroe, Louisiana?
No, it's from North Carolina.
North Carolina, all right.
Yes, and I was listening to your show on the way home from work.
Yes, sir.
And... I was just upset. I would have hung up on her.
But this is what I do.
I don't care.
Jason, this is what I do.
You're too pushy. You infer too much.
This isn't a Barbara Walters interview, darling. This is...
I don't care about Barbara Walters, ma'am.
Well, young man, I don't know how old you are, and I don't know what you're going to choose as your profession in life. But I get the story. That's what I do. I get the story.
Yeah, but what the young man is referring to is the fact that you inferred that I had something to do with those people getting arrested in New Orleans.
No, I did not infer that. I did say you were the only one unscathed. Don't you find that unusual, young man?
Ma'am, when you were talking about the alcohol thing,
yes.
When he was caught with the alcohol, when you said, were you arrested for a drug arrest? And immediately I thought some illegal kind of drug.
Absolutely.
Like chemical drug, not alcohol.
Alcohol is
a legal drug, and when you use the phrase...
You're a young man. You're living in North Carolina, which immediately you're not exactly connected. Would you say you're connected to the rest of the world?
Yes.
In North Carolina?
Yes.
Whereabouts is it?
North Carolina, okay?
I'm
He's connected
Charlotte.
To the...
You're by Charlotte?
Yes.
And that's where? That's in...
That's in North Carolina.
North Carolina is like the second largest banking city in the United States.
It's the second largest spot, darling? I'm sorry.
Banking city in the United States.
Banking city.
They have a lot of
like
banking.
The major buildings for all the banks are in Charlotte.
Are you a banker?
No, ma'am.
You work in the banking business?
No, I'm a student. My sister works in the banking business, and my mother did.
And what does your sister do? What the teller window is she at?
Teller window?
My mother is listening to you.
Is your mother a teller?
No.
Do you write checks? I mean, I don't know what your association with...
He said that his sister and his mother are involved in the banking business. And I think the point that you're making is that perhaps her interview style is a little pushy.
You know, I find this interesting. This is what I do. I get the story, and immediately the interview subject gets very defensive, Jason. I think you need to understand that when you finally get into your career, if you're going to write for a major newspaper, you
I'm
have
not.
To...
I'm going to be an aerospace engineer.
Are you overdrawn at the bank, just by the way?
No.
When you are overdrawn at the bank, does your sister call you and say one of your checks bounced?
No.
Do you get that kind of help from your sister?
My sister runs the ATM machines for...
Uh-huh. So when she runs the ATM machines and the ATM machine is out of cash, will she put cash in there for you?
No.
Do you write checks for pizza?
What are you doing here?
What does this make any difference to?
I want to know.
I'm not being interviewed here.
Your connection to the banking industry in Charlotte is interesting to me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And if you're overdrawn and writing checks on pizza, these are things that people are interested in, Jason.
I'm sorry. That doesn't interest me at the moment.
Not interesting to you?
I called to tell my opinion on your interview. And my opinion on your interview is you suck.
Well,
you're very pushy. My mother said you're a fruitcake.
Phil Henry Show here. We'll be right back.
Bonjour et merci de voler des lins à rien de Phil Henry. Nous contrôlerons d'une altitude de 30 000 pieds. D'ailleurs, Jerry Lewis. Ce soir, le vol comportera Poodle. Je devrais mentionner Stupid American. Et maintenant, voici Bill.
I was just stunned for a moment. I don't know. Literally. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. That's 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray is this nationally syndicated columnist who is doing an interview with me on air. And, yeah.
You know something, Phil? Can I jump in?
Sure.
You say you want to be interviewed on the air, but when you encounter someone such as myself, this is what I do. I ask the hard questions. And so...
All right, but you're talking to me about New Orleans, and I had nothing to do with a drug raid in New Orleans, okay? And
I'm not saying that you did. Excuse me. I'm not saying that you did. But it was interesting that you went to Miami, isn't it?
I went to Miami because I got a great offer to go to a radio station down in the Miami area, okay?
1981. Let's cut to Los Angeles. You're here. Doing what?
At that time, I was producing for Westwood One.
For a period of 3 years... You did not engage in any intimate contact with a woman. Isn't that correct? Isn't that correct, Phil?
Yes, it's correct, and I don't have no idea how you found that out.
You had no sexual relationship for a 3-year period. It's damaging enough for a woman. It is almost pathological for a man, isn't it? Isn't it?
I had just come off of a very traumatic... I was engaged to be married to a woman. We broke up...
And for a 3-year period, you did not have intimate contact with a woman. Isn't that true? Isn't that true?
Yeah, yes, it's true.
You know, I find it interesting that in so many different relationships, and I've interviewed so many people, Phil, that people tend to want to hide that aspect of their personality.
Do you want to get that call?
I'm sorry, yes. Phil, can you hold on?
Yeah. Margaret Gray is interviewing me. Can you tell her to put her call waiting, not to answer that?
Phil, I'm back. I find it interesting that people do not want to answer these questions. And because of that, it's very, very uncomfortable for them.
All right, let me go back to the gentleman in Monroe, because he's been hanging on. Yes, sir? In Monroe?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Is this the young man in the banking business?
I never said I was in the banking business. I said my sister and my mother
were.
You
see, you have to understand, your name's Jason, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Jason, that's what I do. I ask the hard questions. I ask the tough questions.
I know you said that about 150 times
but
in about 20 minutes.
But that's what I do.
I understand that a retarded person could have figured that out by now.
Well, what is your complaint?
I just think you're very rude and obnoxious.
Mm-hmm. What else?
That's about it.
That's it.
It just made me mad when I was coming home from work, having to listen to you completely, in my words, insult this man.
Why? Because I asked the hard questions? I asked the hard questions?
In my point of view, you asked the wrong questions.
Will you please get that phone?
I'm sorry?
Will you please get that phone?
I'm sorry. Hold on.
Jason, thank you very much for your support this evening. I appreciate it, okay?
No problem.
All right, man.
All right, Phil, I'm back. Let's go to 1987. Your father died, didn't he? Isn't it true your father died in 1987?
Yes, he did.
How old was he? I know it's emotional for you, Phil. I do this. I get to the...
You do this. What do you do?
I get to the heart of the story. Your father died, didn't he? Take your time.
My father died in 1987, yes.
How old was he? How old was he?
He was 72.
Did he drink?
No, my father did not drink.
What kind of a father was he? What kind of a father was he?
He was a good man. He was a good father. He was,
You referred to him once as a bon vivant. You referred to him once as a womanizer, didn't you? Didn't you?
Yes, I did refer to him once as a womanizer. Yes, he did cheat on my mother, okay?
How did you feel about him dying? How did you...
All right, I'm going to answer it. I felt bad about him dying. I never got to know my dad.
Did you tell him that you loved him? You didn't, did you? October 30th, 1987. He's lying in a coma. He's at intensive care, isn't he?
Yes, he was.
And you didn't tell him that you loved him, did you? You didn't tell him that...
No, I didn't. I didn't because it was tough. He was in a coma.
You couldn't have leaned over and said something, "I love you, Father," in his ear?
No, I didn't. Why do you do this?
This is what I do, and this is what I do well, and I do it better than anyone, Phil. This is how you get the truth.
Mooresville, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Margaret. Way an interview normally goes, the way that I'm...
Are you a journalist?
I'm sorry, I'm talking right now.
Are you a journalist?
Ma'am, I have done journalism. Yes, I have. I was in the school newspaper in school.
Oh, the school newspaper.
Ma'am, and the way I conduct an interview...
Go for it.
I went up... Ma'am, let me finish.
Yes.
I went up to someone, and I would ask them a question. I would give them the time... And I would give them the time to respond to the question as they needed to. I didn't attack them, which you are doing. You're asking the man about his father, evidently a very emotional time for him, and you are screaming at him. Tell me what.
No, I want the answers. I want the answers. What do you do for a living?
Yes, but the man, you can obviously tell that the man is going through them.
Can you hold on for
a very emotional time for him?
You've got to answer the phone because it's driving me out of my mind, okay?
What is?
That phone, that call waiting thing, okay? Can you answer it?
Hold on. I'm awfully sorry, Phil.
Can you hold for a minute, sir?
Yes, thank you.
Phil Henry Show, our number 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Margaret Gray. She is interviewing me for her nationally syndicated column. I will tell you that I certainly did consent to this, so I don't want you to feel as if I'm a victim, but I do feel that some of the questions are intrusive, and perhaps that's a bad word. Perhaps in the modern day of tabloid journalism, all questions are fair, but yes, I was emotional about the death of my father. We had a rough time about it. Sir, I'm sure you have a father. And
yes.
Yes. So.
I mean, my grandfather is, he's just about on his bed right now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's a very emotional thing. I know how it goes through.
Right. Will you please get her back? Will you please get her back?
I'm back, Phil. All right. The gentleman was saying...
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I was just making my comment that you need to give someone a time to respond. Evidently, that's a very emotional thing for him.
You said you wrote for your school newspaper.
Yes, ma'am, I sure did.
What was the name of that paper?
I'm sorry.
What was the name of the paper that you wrote for in high school?
Will you give me one
second? Let the man
answer. Don't have to attack me.
I'm not attacking you. I'm sorry. This is what I do.
The name of the paper was The South Wind.
And what high school was that?
It was South Iredell.
What was the name of the high school?
South Iredell High School.
And that was in the Mooresville area.
It's in Troutman.
In Troutman. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
You are 21.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And when were you first enticed into the journalistic career? Into the journalistic career?
When I met the journalism teacher at my high school.
Who?
His name was Mr. Knobly.
Mr. Knobly, all right. And how old was he?
I'm not.
Did he take an unhealthy interest in you?
I'm going to have to stop this right now.
This is what I do, Phil.
But it's getting very personal.
It's not personal.
What are you getting at, ma'am? Do you have a point to this?
Mr. Knobly.
Are you going to try to drag something out of me?
Mr. Knobly? Is that some sort of
Mr. Knobly? Mr. Knobly. Yes,
Mr. Knobly.
He was a very great man. He was a mentor of mine.
And you're trying to get myself and the people listening to this program tonight to believe that his name was Mr. Knobly.
Yes, his name was Mr. Knobly. Yes, his name was William Knobly.
What was his name again?
William Knobly.
Knobly. What does it matter? It does not matter.
Well, I don't believe it.
Well,
who cares whether you believe it or not, okay?
All right, let's get back to Phil, okay? Hello?
Hello?
I'm going to ask Phil a question, and I want you to answer, Phil, okay?
Yes.
Did you tell your father that you loved him?
I told you that I did, and I did not, and it was one of the great...
Did you or didn't you? You just said that you did.
I said that I didn't.
You said that you did. You said...
I said that I did not, and it was one of the great regrets of my life that I didn't say that to my father, okay?
This is what I do, Phil.
I got it already. I thank the gentleman for his call. Charlotte on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Yes.
I just had a couple of comments on...
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, man, because his line was obviously messed up.
All right, Phil, let's get back to your life. We talked about your father and the fact that you... Could you hold on for a minute?
Yeah, I'll hold on.
Okay. Do you love your mother?
Yes, I love my mother very much.
It's true that she's infirmed, isn't it?
She's not infirm. My mother has early stages of Parkinson's disease.
Hold on for just a minute. I got to take this call.
Oh, come on, will you?
Stand by. Okay. That was Judith. You know Judith Danielson?
Yeah.
She hears me on the air. So I told her, yeah, I'm on the air right now. So your mother has what, Parkinson's?
She has a little bit of a Parkinson's thing.
What's your relationship like? By the way, let me just say, hi, Judith. Hi. I wanted to say hello.
Will you come on already?
I want to say hello to a friend of mine who is a journalist and who is very, very much...
Will you get that phone, okay?
Hold on. Harry Shearer was calling, and he just wanted to say that he heard me. Hi, Harry, how are you? And I'm looking so forward to seeing Dick. Oh, you mean it's out already? Well, anyway, I really love him. Now.
Yeah, that's great, okay? Can we get back to the thing?
All right. Your mother, do you love her?
Yes, I love my mother.
Have you told her?
Yes, I have.
What kind of a relationship do you have with her? What kind of a relationship do you have with her, Phil? Are you listening?
Yes,
What kind of a relationship do you have with her?
Right now, it's a little distant.
It's distant. Why? This is what I do, Phil. I know you're emotional. But this is what I do. And that's why I'm good. That's why I do a lot. Hold on for a minute.
Oh, God, with that phone, I'm telling you.
Michael McKean, he is so wonderful. I saw him on Tracy Ullman.
Was that him?
Yeah, he was just saying hello. Hi, Michael. How are you, darling? All right, we're getting back...
Okay, hold on for a minute here, because if you're taking phone calls from people, you're asking me questions about things...
Were you in a gang?
Was I what?
You were in a gang when you were 13, weren't you?
No, I was not.
Yes, you... What were the zombies?
It was a skateboard club.
It was a club? Was it a gang?
No, it was not a gang.
How do you define gang?
Well...
How do you define gang?
It's...
Hello? Are you listening to me? How do you define gang?
A gang is an antisocial... It's a group...
How do you define gang? In 1966, you joined a gang of young men, 13, 14 years of age. They were called the zombies. Was it not a gang?
No, it was not.
Were you not in trouble with the police?
No, we were not in trouble with the police.
Well, I seem to see here in the file that you were stopped and questioned by police, weren't you?
We were smoking cigarettes behind a movie theater.
You were stopped and questioned by a plainclothes police officer of the Arcadia Police Department. Isn't that true?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, okay. We were smoking cigarettes behind the Santa Anita Theater with our skateboards, okay?
All right. Are you okay? I'm sorry, darling. But I do this. This is what I do for a living. And I know you feel... Hold on for a minute.
Oh, God, I'm going to tear that phone out of your wall if I get over to your house.
Laurie Metcalf. Have you seen her show, Norm?
Well, you forget about that, okay?
Laurie, I love you in that show. You deserve an Emmy. And all these new actors they're bringing on, I don't understand that. Now,
all right, I got to take a break. I have to...
I want you to think about some of the things we've been talking about, Phil.
Margaret...
Phil, please listen to me.
Yes.
Think about what we're talking about. Because I think you have a wonderful talent. I think you're a wonderful man, and I know you love your wife and your children, but these are things that your listeners want to know.
It's just very embarrassing.
I know it is, darling, but this is what I do. Just think for a moment, okay?
I gotta take a break.
I'll be right here. Okay. Oh, hold on, I gotta get...
Yeah, get the phone, and we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Whatever the hell it is. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I'm so befuddled in this thing. Margaret Gray is on the line with us.
Did you think about the things that I asked you to think about, Phil?
Yes, I did, and I'm simply...
It is what I do, and it's what makes me good. And it's not personal, and you remember what Sonny Corleone said?
It's not personal, it's business?
No, was that it? I can't...
I don't know. What did Sonny Corleone say?
Well, he said something about, Kate, get out of my life or something, but really what happens is... Oh, I know what it was. You broke my heart, Fredo. You broke my heart. Do you remember that?
In The Godfather?
Yes, do you remember when he said that? You broke my heart, Fredo. And then he kissed him on the lips, his own brother. That's what I do. And then remember Godfather 3?
Yeah.
They keep pulling me back in! Do you remember when he said that?
Yes, I remember that.
There you go.
All right, let me go to Matthews. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
I just wanted to say that I'm from... North Carolina, and
how are you?
Oh,
there's a lot of people from North Carolina calling the program.
Yes, ma'am.
How
and
are you,
I'm
darling?
I'm glad to say that my profession doesn't matter. I'm 30 years old, and I believe that I was raised with some couth and some manners.
Hello, North Carolina. Hello, NC.
Yeah.
NC.
Well,
State.
Anyway, the whole point of the conversation is, mm-hmm. I think you're rude. You should give people time to answer. I'm not trying to argue with you, ma'am, but that is what you do, and we all know what you do. So,
Well, darling, can I ask you a question? I'm not going to ask you about your life. I just want to ask you, in a general sense, what do you think a good interviewer should do?
Well, I think that you're
what
very
do you
good
think
columnist.
A good interviewer
Excuse
should
me,
do?
You ask me a question. I'm going to answer.
No, what do you
I
think?
I think you're a good columnist,
what do you think?
But I think you are very impatient, broad.
Have you read my
and
column?
And I think that if you had some coups,
have you, read
you would
column?
Wait for an answer.
Have you read
and I'm cutting
column?
You off like you're cutting everybody else off.
That's right, Margaret.
So when I'm done, I will wait for your response.
So you don't want
I think you're very
answer.
Rude, and I think you make good money at what you do, but you have to live what you do, okay?
Can I ask Phil a question?
What's that?
I'm going to ask you something, Phil.
Yes.
1987, your father dies.
I know my father died in 1987.
My father died last July. He died of cirrhosis and cancer of the liver.
Oh,
and
he was an alcoholic.
You know, it doesn't matter.
Oh, so he was an alcoholic. Your father was
Phil
a drinker.
Phil agreed to this interview
you
and Phil,
said cirrhosis of the liver. You said cirrhosis of the liver. Your father's an alcoholic.
And you've got the damn patience of a person
well,
I've never
I want to ask a question. Are you interviewing me or are you interviewing this lady?
North Carolina.
Your father was an alcoholic. And you don't want to talk about that. There she goes. I knew it.
Well, you're asking questions that have nothing absolutely whatsoever to do with me, okay?
She mentioned cirrhosis of the liver, didn't she?
Yeah.
Do you drink?
So what's this going to be? Am I a drunk?
No, do you drink?
Yes, I drink.
How much?
I have a beer,
Well, when was the last time you drank?
Last weekend.
What'd you do?
Maria and I went to a restaurant, I guess, and...
What did you have?
What do you mean, what did I...
How much did you drink?
I did...
How much did you drink, Phil? As in, did you drink beer?
I don't...
Well, did you drink whiskey?
I
did you drink sake?
I'm trying to think...
Was it gin, for God's sake? What did you drink?
I drank beer.
How much?
I drank...
Was it a quart? Was it a pint? For God's sake, Phil.
It was a large, tall Asahi dry beer.
Where?
It was
where?
It was at a sushi bar.
Which one?
It was the Landing out in Westlake.
Okay, and did you have sake? Did you have sake? God damn it! I am asking you...
I'm going to terminate this interview if you don't start treating me like a human being, okay?
I am asking you good questions, pertinent questions. You are evasive. You don't want to answer my question. Why? Thing about your dad, isn't it? Thing about your father. I knew it. I got to it. This is what I do, Phil. We got to it. Your father dying. Is he dead?
What do you mean, is he dead?
How do you know he's dead?
Because he died.
Well, he died, but how do you know he really died? How do you know he... Did you see them zip him up in the bag? Yes or no? Did you see them zip him up in the bag?
Wait a second. You're talking...
Did you see the Orange County Coroner's Office come in and zip him up in a bag?
My father...
Did you see them put him in a bag?
They put...
This is what I do, Phil.
I guess they put my father in a bag, and...
Will you hold on for a minute?
Oh, Jesus.
I I'm back, Phil. That was the Orange County Coroner's Office. They told me they did put your father in a bag, and they...
Okay, that's enough, all right.
Well, they did call up, too. I had calls into the Orange County Coroner. I had calls into Thomas Noguchi. I had no idea that he died, but...
Yes, they put him in a bag, okay?
All right, this is what I do.
And here's what I do.